One thing I have to say, I have voice envy right there. That's what I have. I just appreciate the clarity and the power from that tiny lady. Yes, it just belts out and just blesses our hearts. And she's even married to a Canadian. I mean, go figure, people. It's amazing to see how God again puts a couple together and how they get to serve together. And they have a grumpy daughter who doesn't smile much. I'm finally getting to her, I think. She's giving me that little grin every once in a while. But just a blessing. Thank you for that ministry in song. Folks, I'll tell you, I like coming here, but I'm kind of amazed what you've done with the place. I'm not talking the church, the town. I guess it's thank you, Continental Tire. Am I missing something here? I mean, you have more restaurants than I had to select from last time I was here a zillion years ago, but it really is looking really good in the neighborhood as far as the town's concerned, and just more opportunity to do a work for God. Can I have an amen from the crowd? Bringing in folks from hither and yonder. Folks, if you can't build a church here, you might as well get out of the church building business. With the, you know, the military base close by, with Continental Tire coming in, bringing another factory, that's just more ministry responsibility, but blessed opportunity to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As I start out tonight, I want to give you an unbelievable testimony of God's goodness and grace. But before I forget to do it and get too deep into us, let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts. Let's have a word of prayer, then I'll give you some real exciting information here. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, I hope these folks enjoyed this morning's worship opportunity as much as I enjoyed it. Lord, I believe you worked in hearts. I believe you convicted folks, charged people, challenged them again to respond to the truths of Scripture. Lord, also in Sunday school, you encourage folks concerning this count it all joy business and really that hope and help that's found through Christ Jesus. But Lord, tonight as we come down to more of a focus to tweak, fine-tune, just really set forth in a biblical way our testimony, Lord, I pray that we will be attentive to the voice of God. We will listen carefully to make sure, Lord, we're doing this in a right way, to make sure we're really honoring and pleasing in your sight. Next couple nights are going to be very challenging and very convicting. But Lord, let this message be the setup as such, to prepare our hearts to be more in anticipation, more again in excitement about what you're doing in this church this week. Now, Lord, I always try to pray this, as you know. If there's someone here, they're not in a position to receive your truth because they've never been saved. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And it's just head-scratching stuff to them. They really won't get it till they get it done as such in their relationship with you by receiving Jesus as personal Savior. So, Lord, save the lost. Stir us Christians up. Again, God, help us to have understanding this hour. And God, for what you do even here tonight, we'll thank you and praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I don't know how you keep up with the fundamental goings of here, there, and wherever, but it's been very devastating. I never thought this would happen in my lifetime, but you realize, folks, 4 fundamental Bible-believing colleges have shut down during a short period of time. Now, let me remind you who may not be familiar with Baptist and fundamental works. Temple Baptist Church, of course, down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, shut down several years ago. And I tell you what, I was doing meetings in that area. Folks, look at this preacher. I cried. As I drove through that once just booming, fruitful campus, it was horrible. Buildings boarded up. It was just an unbelievable, sad presentation of what used to be to what now is, and just broke my heart. Now, the second one, there's another place. I happened to be there in the area when this happened. Don't blame me, but it just was going to happen anyway. Pillsbury Christian College up in Minnesota. I was preaching up in St. Paul, and the man who I was preaching for was the chairman of the board as far as that institution, and he let me know before he announced it they were shutting down Pillsbury. And again, folks, there are a lot of faithful servants of God still serving the Lord because of the training they received in that place. And then we go down further south, a lot more fun to go, especially in the wintertime, but Clearwater Christian College. Been there, done that more times than I can remember, but folks, they also had to close their doors. Then one probably near and dear to my heart when they shut down Northland. Do you folks remember I spent
the summers there for about 12 years as program staff and running the platform and doing all that ministry there. And I'm telling you, folks, I was there during the hay time, get it done, very fruitful, abundant impact ministry. And they ended up closing their doors. Now, let me tell you the common denominator I've seen concerning those places closing. Here's a statement. They didn't listen to history. They thought they were smarter than history. You had men coming in saying, well, if we just had a little more of this worldliness, a little more entertainment, a little more, here's the word, compromise, so we can better reach the world, then we'll have a more fruitful impact in ministry. Folks, read the history books. That does not work. It never has and never will be if you're going to stay a fundamental Bible-believing church. You can bring groovy in, but it has its consequences. You can become more fuzzy and warm feeling in your fleshly whatever before God, but folks, if it's not biblical, it's going to bring not life but destruction to a church like this. Now again, folks, let's be smarter than a lot of people are choosing to be today. Let's stay by the stuff and let God's goal and objective be our goal and objective, and that's be holy. As I am holy. And that's not worldliness, folks. No, just the opposite. It is Christ-likeness. Oh, another scary thing, separation is still what God's after. Separating from the world. Make sure there's a no doubt, no question, difference between light and darkness, righteousness and unrighteousness. But you know how most people make their decisions? Based on what they think, what they feel, and what they want. Folks, how can you do that if you practice Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what the devil's after in this church, don't you? He's looking to blow this church up from the inside out with someone who will not again be smarter than the history they've been taught. And what's going to happen, they may think it's a new idea, but there's nothing new under the sun. Man wants flesh instead of Christ's likeness. Man wants the fuzzy lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life instead of sacrificially dying to self and be alive to what's set forth through this book. Praise God for your pastor. Because again, he's not dipped the flag. He's not given in to the popularity of the world out there today. And I'm telling you what, folks, fundamentalism has dwindled to a great extent. It's hard to find a church that I even feel comfortable preaching in anymore. And I'm so thankful again in this Pastor Appreciation Day. You know, I did hear one cheap shot concerning Pastor. I'm not going to say who it is, but I think you'll guess real quick because of the gift of mouthiness this guy has. He came up to Pastor and said, you know, I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day, but I'm glad we finally got a good message. I don't know if that's true. You know, it was kind of a dig to Pastor, but it was pretty funny anyway. And you probably know who I'm talking about. What's the good news? That's kind of depressing, isn't it? Yeah, it is a little discouraging. But what happened with Northland is this. I'm a little more familiar with that. Northland was purchased by the Southern Baptist Convention. And then the Southern Baptist Convention backed out on the deal. Now, Northland had already made a choice to be progressive, or we would call it in the old days, New Evangelical. And again, very compromising in who they are, what they do, and how they get it done. Well, the Southern Baptists reneged on their deal. Well, they had no other choice. They were $1.2 million in debt. And they were just going to shut the doors down, put it up for auction, or whatever needed to be done. Well, there was an organization that stepped in and said, hey, we don't want that to happen. So this fundamental, independent, Bible-believing group steps in and says, hey, we're going to take the debt upon us. Well, then that organization decided they didn't want to stay up there either. Have you ever been up that far north, folks? Yeah, you talk about teeth chattering. It's not just teeth chattering. Your teeth will shatter because of the abundance of burr up there in that region. I was up there one winter during January. The water tank, the water tower, It froze solid. It was like 5 zillion degrees below zero. I know you Southerners don't have a concept of that, but even when you walked, it was painful, people. Well, what happened? Five pastors, a steering committee of guys, and a guy named Jeff Call. Who's Jeff Call? Jeff Call was the guy who left Northland as camp director, went to Camp Kobiak in Michigan, and brought that place from the dead, and made it really, through the power and grace of God, a very fruitful, impacting camp ministry. I mean, folks, unbelievable transformation. Well, he leaves that organization, goes with the group that were securing Northland, and then he left that organization, and these guys said, "Hey, Jeff, we'll get behind you, we'll be with you, if you'll be the guy to be in charge of Northland's revival and renewal, not as a progressive camp, not as a liberal new evangelical camp, but like it used to be, a fundamental Bible-believing camp." Here's the exciting news. They started last summer. Can I have an amen? They had a great camping ministry and impacting, fruitful time up there at Northland. One more time, without compromise, without get down, get up again, whatever. And folks, again, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Now, folks, do you understand how historic that is? When some place usually goes toward more liberalism or, again, unbiblical, whatever, in history, folks, they don't come back to a fundamental position. This is very impacting, very historic, and I want to be a part of it. Now, Jeff Call and I have been real good friends for a long time, so what I did, I canceled my meetings for next summer. I had a pretty full schedule, and I said, I want to be a part of what Northland is doing and what Northland will do. So next summer, I'm going up. I think I'll be the old guy sitting in the corner with a drool cup. I hope that helps, but I want to be a part of that historic event that, again, kicks the devil in the teeth and says, "Hey, get out of the way. We're going to do what God is pleased with to bring glory and honor to His name." Isn't that exciting to you like it is to me? Folks, to think, again, the devil finally gets canceled out, again, put on the sideline, and now that independent, fundamental, conservative, uncompromising ministry continues at Northland. Now, here's why I tell you all that to start this message. To God be the glory, but boy, would you pray. Would you pray that they don't think they're smarter than history? That they don't think, again, that I have a new way, a more impacting way, but folks, that's not, compatible to the truths of Scripture. So it's going to be a difficult thing, but boy, I tell you, folks are excited. And if you want to bring a group up from here, it'll take you about 3 weeks to get there. But if you want to bring a group up for family camp, they are just phenomenal. Dr. Les Olala is doing the preaching for family camps with other guys. And it's just going to be a shouting, glory, hallelujah, great time. And I want you to be a part of that ministry. Now, I want you to take your Bibles tonight. Here's where we're going to be for the next couple of nights. We're going to be dealing with the book of Colossians. You may have been studying this passage. I didn't ask, Pastor. This is just what God's burdened my heart to preach on for these next 3 days. But in Colossians, that happens to be where the camp verse of Northland is found. That's Colossians chapter 2. Go down with me to chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. You know, folks, I didn't realize I had a gift that God's allowed me to use over and over again. I didn't know I could write music till I started going to Northland. Oh, I wrote one funny song while I was at Bob Jones and, you know, one kind of serious junior song along the way. But I didn't know I had that in me till I was challenged to do this. Do you realize that's the same thing with everybody here? You've got stuff that you don't even know you have. If you'll just step out by faith and say, "Lord, what would you have me do next?" or be that volunteer for Jesus that we're all supposed to be, you would be amazed at what God could stir up and set forth through your life if you'd only trust Him and obey Him. Well, they asked me to write a camp chorus. Well, I used the camp verses. Look down with me at chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." You know what? We're going to revive that course here this summer, but I added some to it. I also used verse 7. Look at that verse, please. It says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let me give you a head start to the outline tonight. You need to be grounded, you need to be growing, and you need to be grateful. Can we say that together, boys and girls? You need to be grounded, you need to be growing, and you need to be grateful. That's what's taught here in verse 7. Now, I'm going to read this statement because I want to make sure it's said distinctly and very clearly as far as what's happening. The devil is on the march like I have never known in my life. He is seeking to divide and conquer, to bring confusion and deception to the Christian realm. And as worldliness and carnality have become the norm in churches and in homes, the devil, the great deceiver, has convinced too many people that it's okay in God's sight. But John 8:44 is just as true today as when the Word of God was set forth. The devil is a liar and the father of it. God still hates sin. And it's still specific on the goal of every believer. And I've said it at least twice today, that being set apart for God and set apart from the world, be ye holy. That is simply, again, setting your life in a Christ-like biblical way, again, to rip up, destroy, obliterate, set aside the workings of the devil, because the devil lives to rip us off from the blessed goodness that comes when the heart and mind are in Christ. Now, folks, that was a mouthful, but you know what? We're foolish enough to buy up what the devil's selling. And we think we're still getting a good deal. And, folks, we're being cheated of all the wonder and the blessedness found through the blessed Word of God. So what I'm going to do is show you what sets up these two verses, again, preparing us for what's coming tomorrow night. So again, be very focused and don't miss a part of what God's doing. Because I'm telling you, folks, one message hooks to another message that hooks to another message. You know, you don't want to miss certain this, that, or the other, folks, as far as the world's concerned. This is even more important than this, that, and the other. When you again get the total picture, your testimony will make a greater impact as a selfless, sacrificial servant of God. So look with me in this passage. God gives warning of deception. And folks, that's happening in abundance and very proficiently today. You need to know the Word of God. Look down with me at verse 4 of this chapter. It says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile." Now, beguile means to deceive, and beguile you with enticing words. Folks, you don't have to go very far to be distorted and perverted spiritually. All you got to do is click on your cell phone or click on the computer, and folks, you can find any garbage you want to put in your pail. There is so much junk out there, and you know, if you're looking to compromise, you can find someone else on the internet to help you make that choice and think you're okay. Folks, don't go to the internet, go to this book. Don't listen to the opinion, perspective, or listen to the feelings or again, heart of a man. Go to the man Christ Jesus and make sure even he's right, she's right, and especially you're doing what's right. Because, folks, the devil hasn't changed his operation. He's looking to pull the theological rug out from underneath your feet spiritually. So you'll be dysfunctional for what God has ordered up. So it says, "Beware lest any man should beguile or deceive you with enticing words." Same type of thing, go down to verse 8. Now, folks, again, how good is our God? Better than we deserve. He doesn't just tell us once, he tells us twice. Look down with me at verse 8. He says, "Beware lest any spoil you or deceive you through philosophy and vain deceit." What are they trying to do? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the elements, the procedure, the program, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. But I think it sounds real good. I agree with it, yeah, but it's still not biblical. It's still not according to that which God has ordered up in this book. Folks, again, if you're not reading your Bible, you're going to be duped and deceived and deterred and distracted from anything close to what God wants done. You need to know what you believe so you won't be tripped up or deterred from truth and mess up your walk in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about this walking in Christ. Before you can walk in Christ, you need to be in Christ. You know, as I mentioned this morning, I've blown by it just a couple of times. If you're not saved, you can't do what this verse says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And folks, that's my heart burden as an evangelist. That's why I'm so concerned about folks in churches like this. They're not sacrificial. They're not servants of God. They're more, again, contrary to biblical living than faithful to what God very clearly states in His book. I'm concerned that you don't know my Jesus. I'm concerned you've made an empty profession because you're not walking in Christ Jesus. You're not grounded. You're not growing. And you're not grateful. I'm not trying to talk you out of something that lasts for all eternity. I just want to make sure you have the real deal. You know, one of the earliest meetings I had was up in Michigan, up around Troy, Michigan. And there was a guy in the choir that God smote his heart, that he was playing the game and going through the motions. I could picture, folks, this is probably 25 years ago, but I picture like it was yesterday. The kid grew up in a Christian home. The kid grew up going to a Christian school, a Christian college, but he realized there was something majorly missing. And that was a personal, biblical relationship with Jesus. Will you be honest? Will you look over your basket of ministry endeavor? Would you look over the checklist or the scorecard of what you are and what you do in the name of Jesus Christ? Is there anything close that lines up with what God says in this book? Do you hate sin? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are you consumed and controlled by, again, your flesh or by the leading of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells you as a believer if you're saved? Folks, there's not the job being done that I think should be done in the average Christian life. I think the major problem that I perceive, there are a lot of folks who say, I know Jesus, but I don't think they know Jesus. What's the percentage? I don't know. I don't have any clue. That's only in the mindset of God. But I think there are a lot more lost in churches like this than really step up the plate and admit, hey, I need to get saved. If that's you, I pray, first of all, you'll know Jesus through salvation. Now you're in Christ, walk the walk and talk the talk. There's a specific direction and way of walking. You know, one of my favorite verses to quote is, I'm pressing toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The target is His will. The target is based again on His word. But that's not your goal. That's not your objective. That's not what you are and what you do. Folks, that's the way a person walks rightly in Christ Jesus. You're here to walk biblically, to please the Lord, to walk worthy of the Lord, to be circumspect or walk circumspectly. That means cautiously. And folks, you're supposed to be different than the world that's around you. Now, again, I'm an observer of people. I'm just a weirdo. I like to watch people. I try not to make fun of them, but it's hard not to do. Are you with me, people? There's some real strange people. I'm not just talking about the ones in this church. We know who they are. There's some real strange... Sir, don't be laughing. Sir, I was talking about you. Okay, he's looking at his wife going, oh boy, this guy, he's on the mark preaching. It's the Hoosier. Okay, so now, folks, listen. Everybody has an individual walk. If I was with teens, I'd show you how to walk hip-hop and groovy and get down, get up again. You know, I'd show you how to walk in a not a manly fashion, but I'm not going to entertain you that way tonight, even though I know you want it. But folks, in Christ Jesus, we're here to all walk the same way. Now same but different from the world, but same for every believer. We're here to walk in Christ Jesus, period, folks. And that won't be anything other than rightly representing Him. So how do we walk right? Now, if so many people are carnal, so many people are even worldly in their choices, how can we make sure that's not us? Well, let's go back to verse 7. Would you go there with me? I'll give a little more extension of what this is all about. The first thing it says rooted and built up in Him. Now, what do roots do? Well, we're all learned in this area. Roots bring stability and also go for that nutrition stuff. Stability, so when the storms of life are pounding the brain, heart, and life, the waves of temptation are crashing into us daily, we can stand firm and strong for the will and working of God. If you're not grounded in the truths of Scripture, you're going to get blown over by a little puff of wind. And you'll be again sidelined as far as any kind of fruitfulness is concerned in your life before God and man. Nutrition, the right kind of feeding to be strong, stable, and fruitful. You know, when I study this, I've got certain verses I've memorized from a young Christian standpoint, and this is one that just popped in my brain first and foremost. In Psalm 1 and verse 3, it says, "And he, the blessed man, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Whoa, God is good. I want to be a loser, don't you? I want to make sure that I just mess up all the time. None of you do, but you're going to. If you don't choose to be grounded in the truths of the Word of God, I don't care how wonderful and perfect your parents are. Now, they are. I know that. You know, I have trouble with this family right here. If they had like three more children, we'd call them Von Trapp family. But, you know, I don't think they really like each other except for the husband and wife. Do you notice the separation here, people? Either there's no deodorant allowed in the house or something, they need counseling. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. But, folks, listen, if these kids don't get grounded in the Word of God, when they leave the house of spiritual guidance and submission, they're going to end up being worldly as all get out. And how many parents here, or how many of you who have been a part of this Christian school, now see kids who used to get it done for Jesus are nowhere to be found for the cause of Christ? Have we seen that, brother? How many teenagers who, again, kind of went with secondhand conviction? Y'all know what that means? Do you know what secondhand conviction? I do what I do because that's what my parents make me do. Or that's what my church says. You know, folks, you need first-hand conviction based on your first-hand understanding and your personal relationship with Jesus, so you don't just quote something from pastor, but you quote from "Thus saith the Lord." I'm not going to be worldly because God says hate sin. God says, don't go there, don't do that. I know that because I have personally spent time with God. I have personally studied the Word of God. I know what the Bible says. I say that pretty boldly, don't I? But I know what's going to happen. Most Christians are too lazy to have that intimate personal understanding of "Thus saith the Lord." You're preparing yourself for a crash and burn. Because you have not firsthand understanding of the Word of God. It's based on a man or an organization. And when that man or organization goes sideways, you go sideways too. How many times have we seen that over and over again? Here's one of the heartbreaks of what's going on in fundamentalism for me personally. Guys I went to school with, people I knew in good churches, I preached in these churches. There were people in those churches that are now in the midst of compromising, foolish choosing, and there are people that know better still in the midst of that foolishness. And that they're just, again, they're either too lazy or too lackadaisical, or they got the frog in the frying pan syndrome. Y'all know what I mean by that statement? If you put a frog in a firing pan, you just turn the fire up a little bit at a time, that dumb old frog will just sit there and sizzle, sizzle, burn. I like frog legs. But you know what? Spiritually, that's not a good thing. Are y'all with me? Folks, if this church ever chooses to compromise and become progressive or new evangelical, you get out of this church. Well, I want you to know I'm a pillar of the assembly. But it's got spiritual termites. Are you with me? And this assembly is not a place pleasing in God's sight. Head for the hills. Find a church without compromise, without, again, just wrong choosing concerning what honors and pleases our God. Don't love this church more than you love Jesus and the blessed truths of the Word of God. Should you ever quit growing spiritually? No. Is there, again, a way to stunt our growth and keep that from happening? Yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't read and study your Bible. And you will dwarf your testimony and your impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, it says, rooted and built up in as ye have been taught. And folks, most people in churches like this have no excuse to be unfaithful. We have been spoiled with solid teaching on how to live for Jesus. And it's time, folks, can I give a worldly phrase here? It's time to man up. You hear me? It's time to ask God to give you a spiritual spine as such and stand strong in the Lord. You know, be stable, uncompromising, because you will reap if you faint not. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. That's a whole bunch in the work of the Lord. So first of all, you need to be grounded. Secondly, you need to be growing, built up in Him and established in the faith. Let me read that verse. I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit here. But it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught. And then here's a big word, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, folks, have you noticed when people are grateful, given to thanksgiving, they're a lot more fun to be around? You with me? Don't you enjoy being around someone at work or at the Christian school, and all they do is growl and complain? I'm not just talking about pastor. I'm talking about other believers in the... You know what? I am a little jealous. You know, I told you I had voice envy from the gal that sang. I just wish I could sing that clear and that loud. I can still sing loud, but it's not real clear. I sound like a smoker when I start singing anymore. But you know, I also have hair envy when I look at pastor. Who would think a man of his age could grow a flat top? Are you with me, people? That's just not fair. But I'm still trying to be grateful. All right, so that's my own personal venting. I had to let that fly here before I finished this and felt like a hypocrite. Now, how much is abounding? Folks, is it a lot or a little? Talk to me. A lot. How many ways or how much should we do this gratefulness stuff? Did anybody listen this morning when I read Ephesians 5, verse 20? It says, in how many things, folks? In everything, give thanks. You know, in all things, give thanks. That's tough to do when you're a grump. That's, matter of fact, impossible to do if you're not filled with the Spirit and going forth by His grace to get past your flesh and be a testimony of gratefulness. But folks, that's what the walk entails. Grounded, growing, and grateful. Let me show you this in the book of Colossians alone, and it's just from front to back. Go with me to chapter 1 and verse 12. Chapter 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Then go to chapter 2 and verse 7, where we're parking as far as preaching is concerned, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Now, folks, there are certain clusters of verse that just should bring you down on your face before God and adjust your schedule and agenda of life for God. Here's some of those verses. It says in verse 15 of chapter 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called into one body. And here it is, folks, say it with me. And be ye thankful. Let me keep reading. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. That just means pitch a tent in your life. You know, just really parking down on it, and that's where you choose to stay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And boy, talk about get it done verse. Look at verse 17. It says, in whatsoever you do in word or deed. People, look up here for a minute. Is there anything else? No. So what is God trying to teach us here? How to walk rightly in Him. It says in verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the... But I don't want to. I hate Mondays. Well, be dead to self and get it done right. You know, you don't understand who I'm stuck with. Well, you know what? If you would have been right with God, maybe you would have made that choice. But guess what? You're going to have to go forward in faithfulness through the grace and power of God. Folks, we do have consequences to our choices, as we have mentioned, but you still need to do what's right. So it says, in whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, here it is again, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. How about one more? Look at chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul says here, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving. How cool would this be in your life, in your home? You're just waiting for me to fall, aren't you? In your home, in your life, at your place of employment, if you were one of those praising gods, praising guys or girls, just grateful, thank God's good. Man, don't you love this political system that's going on? How God's in control? You know God can handle old Trump? Yeah, He can even help old that Hillary girl, you know? I tell you what, God just so good. I'm just so grateful what's going on today. Fox News wouldn't have a thing to talk about if it wasn't for this political confusion and chaos. You see, folks, there's a different approach and attitude to what's going on, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. Y'all with me? But folks, where does our thanksgiving come from? Because of Donald Trump? Oh, no. Because of Hillary Clinton? No. Because of your whatever and this and that and them? No! It's because Christ lives in you. Man, you should wake up every day singing, God is so good. But see, you're not doing that. I got to get ready for work. Got to go up to school, going to the salt mine, give my all and best and try to live for Jesus. Well, no wonder nobody wants what you've got. No wonder your husband goes, oh God, kill one of us. Just kill one of us. I don't care who it is, just kill one of us. Wouldn't it be a lot more... Sir, please don't be so obvious here. Just stay focused on me. I'm trying not to pick on you here. But folks, how much more enjoyable would it be for your children if you weren't growling, complaining all the time? Oh, money. Oh. And all you do is park on the junk instead of the goodness of God. Folks, let's be on purpose as we walk in Christ Jesus, a grateful, thankful, to God be the glory type of people. That will make people want to come to this church. That'll make people want to be around you more than sometimes people want to be around you because you're a negative nort. You're a basket case. You're a nervous wreck. Instead of God is so good and so good to me. Now, folks, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, do what? So walk ye in Him. How do you do it? Look back at verse 7 and we'll try to wrap this up. You need to be, do you remember the words, boys and girls? Can I give credit to where credit's due? I didn't come up with these three words. I got it from Warren Wiersbe, but it's still worth preaching. You need to be what, folks? Grounded, growing, and grateful. It always helps more to give the words if you open your mouth, so let's try it again, okay? You need to be grounded, growing, and you need to be grateful. How does that line up as far as your choice of who you are and what you're looking to do for the glory and honor of Jesus? Now, folks, are we just going through an exercise of scheduling opportunity this week? Or are we really looking to draw closer to the heart of God? To better our testimony for Him? To be more productive and impacting for all eternity? Or are you just going through the motions and you're just going to endure until Brother Maynard's gone? And I hope you don't do that. I hope, again, you are grateful for the opportunity that God has blessed you with this week. You know I'm not the best preacher. I'm probably the best looking one you've had for a while. But you know what? I'm not the best preacher. I understand that. But we have a great God who has brought me here to give you what you need so you can walk in Him. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed.